Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson just read. We are confronted this morning in our Epiphany worship with sharp contrast. We try to empathize and identify with this man at the side of the pool of Bethesda, a name that has become famous in our day as a place of healing. Our Savior, in his Epiphany radiance, came to this man and offered him healing. There was an expected response from this man, and the response was disappointing, to say the least. After 38 years of frustration, misery, and depression, this man was suddenly made whole. And one would think that he would pick up his bed and go rejoicing, but that he would first of all have taken the trouble to find out who had brought to an end, a glorious end, his 38 years of darkness and suffering. One would have expected that he would have aligned himself immediately with Jesus and attempted to discover for himself the great mission of the Savior come to earth. But none of this happened. And when he was confronted with a minor crisis in comparison to the crisis he had been going through for many years, namely the self-righteous Jews confronted him with breaking the Sabbath laws, he immediately passed the buck to the person who had healed him. And then finally he again came in contact with Jesus. Jesus, as the Son of God, reading his heart and reading it effectively, gave him a stern warning. See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. And he stand aghast. What could be worse than 38 years of helplessness and despair? What could be worse? And as we ponder that question, suddenly the cross looms over this entire Epiphany picture. What could be worse? An eternity in hell could be worse. And that is why Christ could come. And that is why, again, in his grace and in his mercy and in his love, he is seeking to elicit from this man some type of response. Stop resisting. Accept me as your Savior. Here we find the two devices that Satan often uses to mislead us. One, depression, despair, hopelessness, alienation, when we are asked to go through the trials and tribulations of life, as that man had encountered for 38 years. And the other, the attitude of the self-righteous Jews, who are trying legalistically to earn their own way to heaven. And their human pride is very much in evidence in this picture. And at the end of our text, we find that this man who was healed and who had identified Jesus for them had given them ammunition to use against the Savior of the world. And so this is the sharp contrast. From this less than desirable response of a man who was resisting the power of the Holy Spirit and was in danger of losing his very soul and spending eternity in hell, from that man he moved to the brightness of the Epiphany radiance, the grace, mercy, and love of God as evidenced in Christ Jesus as the gospel message, the good news of Christ's coming for the salvation of all mankind, was brought to our sister area, Brazil. It was my pleasure and privilege to spend a month this last summer, which is winter in Brazil, by the way, in that beautiful country. There, with many natural rich resources still unplundered by man, there in the beauty of our South American area, I found a faith that was fully responsive to the Epiphany radiance that we are talking about this morning. Men dedicated pastorally to preaching the good news. Men who are gathered about word and sacrament, and then taking the word and sacrament out to people who are spiritually eager to respond to the power of the Holy Spirit. And you heard the story of the brightness of the Epiphany in Brazil. as people employed by Pastor Flair. Certainly, there we have the top contact. One, a minimal response to the epiphany of radiance, glory, love, and grace of God in Christ Jesus, and the other, in the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit working in a church that is filled with vigor and enthusiasm for the Lord. And currently, they are moving out into their own mission field. Again, it was my privilege to be a participant in a graduation service in the city of Porto Alegre. And in that service, they were commissioning two of those young men to go out into Paraguay, into rather wild country, and there share the rich gospel message of Christ. And so we find in the Brazilian Christian Church a vital, dedicated group of people gathered about word and sacrament, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and radiating out the brightness and radiance of hope, joy, love, and peace in Christ Jesus in their area. May their efforts be richly blessed. May their fruit of harvesters grow in dedication and in number. And may they continue to hold out this bright epiphany light in that very charming and beautiful land of Israel. Amen. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Oh, good morning once again. This is Thursday, January 10th, and the topic speaker today is Professor Pacini.
After that short experience of living and worshiping in a silent world, probably the truth of the proverb, one man's pleasure is another man's curse, is very, very true to us. We perhaps felt uncomfortable, even as others in the group that understood sign language felt very, very much at home. I'm not sure, however, that proverb necessarily can be supported by the scriptures. I found instead that perhaps the proverb would come out of the Bible as every man's curse led to every man's pleasure. It's very interesting that when that happens, as people experience the pleasure of God's salvation, they rejoice and they were propelled, they were rocketed into mission. Hearing and seeing are often used in the scriptures. Adam and Eve, our father and mother, have no hearing problem. They have no seeing problem. And yet, after the fall into sin, they had a problem. And the Bible tells us that the problem was related very much to their hearing and seeing. It's not that they couldn't hear and see, it's what they heard and saw. And early in the Bible, we see how Adam tries himself. And when God finds him, he says, I heard your footsteps in the garden, and I was afraid. And again, we saw ourselves, and we were ashamed. You and I perhaps would not like to see and hear those things either. It's interesting also that people through the years have tried to cut off and be selective in their hearing. How comforting it would be to have silence and not have to hear the footsteps of a condemning God walking to us. And yet, the silence becomes deafening. And the fear, the darkness, become the Bible axiom is true, that every person's curse led to every person's treasure, then we should be able to find something beyond that. How does the quote new man of the Bible see and hear? The same hearing and the same seeing. But notice that what the person sees and hears is quite different. The New Testament leads us to a hearing that is comforting, that is filled with joy and peace. A Lord Jesus that came to a man who doubted and perhaps would not have wanted to hear that voice, and yet Thomas did hear, and the voice was comforting and kind, and the voice said, come to me, put your hands in my ears, and don't doubt. And the voice came to many others, and they heard also, and the voice said, don't be afraid, I am with you always. And what did they see? Perhaps the best example of those who were blind and then saw were the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know the story. They were walking along and Jesus joined them, etc., etc. And then some very interesting things happened when they went into the house. And the Bible says, their eyes opened and they saw that it was the Lord. And then he departed from them. And then there was this joy and excitement. They drop all their plans. They give up their reservation in the local Holiday Inn. And they go running back, propelled into the mission of saying that they had seen the Lord. The new man is not like the old man who cowers in fear before God, but he comes to a God that invites and comforts and gives peace. Perhaps the problem is not so much that people can't hear and people can't see. Perhaps the problem is more that people see and hear the wrong thing. God does reach us. He does want us to hear his voice. And he would have us rejoice and go out into the world to share that with others. The verses of our text for the second gospel reading for this morning have the interesting word blessed. Blessed. It's used in Matthew in the first few chapters in the Sermon on the Mount. Some people have translated as happy. We're talking about happy ears and happy eyes. There's a very interesting use of the word also in 1 Timothy, where God is called blessed. I suppose you can make a point for a happy God, I think he is. On the other hand, I wonder if the meaning in Timothy is more like worthy of glory, a blessed you in that sense, a worthiness. And that really is what it's all about. And our ears and our eyes, in that sense, could be called worthy. Not because they're ours, and not because of anything we did with them, but because of what he made them to see and to feel. And that's a joyous and a very, very satisfying experience. It's a pleasure. We are called worthy because of what he has done for us. Blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. Indeed, blessed are you, worthy to come three times before the throne. What do we do about it? First thing is, I think we ought to rejoice. Kind of happy, you know. Not quite so sad. Like the mother who scolded the child in church for playing around and said, when the child was crying and said, that's better. How ridiculous. The Bible says, we're blessed, we're happy, we rejoice. We stamp our feet, we jump up and down, and we celebrate. Why we have all these beautiful colors in here, and the organ, and the party. And the party is every day. because we see and we hear. And the invitation goes out interestingly enough, and we can't help but send it out from us. You people out there, come. Come and become worthy. And experience the pleasure of worthiness in Him. We rejoice and we are prepared in commission. We hear with our ears and see with our eyes in spirit. And we eagerly invite all others to come also to that rejoicing.